Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, Miss Julie DeMille.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Vietnam.
I'm good. I'm very good. We are taping today on this beautiful Friday morning. Every day is beautiful, isn't it, Joel? I mean, it's, you know, the weather has been very, very, very nice. Now, I did see something a few weeks back where they said that November was going to be above average. And so far, they're correct.
But
Yeah. I mean, yesterday,
I do.
We took a publicity photo for Small Business Saturday in downtown Scranton. And more on that. That's coming up November 30th. And, you know, this is part of the holiday season in the area. And it was hard to feel the vibe because usually I'm taking that photo and everybody has winter coats on and red and green scarves and it was, like, warm. The sun was blazing, and not a complaint that it was beautiful out, but it was just so weird. Like, I was like, where's the snow? I'm ready.
Ugh.
I'm ready for winter. I know you hate that so much. I'm sorry.
I hate the snow. I hate it.
I really do.
And
I'm, like, ready for it.
I don't look, if I never see it again, I'd be happy.
Oh, my God. Oh, don't say that. You know what, though? Your wish might come true. I mean, it didn't, I don't remember it snowing last winter.
Well, yeah, last year we had a little bit. I just don't like it. I just don't like the slush and the mush and the, you know what I don't mind? I don't mind it if it's flurries and it happens, you know, at night and it's gone in the morning. Then I'm okay. Or if it just goes on the grass, you know, that kind of snow that hits the ground and it doesn't do anything. It melts and it's on the grass. I don't mind that. That's pretty. But I can't. I don't like inches and inches of.
I do.
No, that's problematic for me in open-toed boots or something. I mean, it's silliness, but I just never have been a fan. You know, and walking to West Scranton High School in 50 feet of snow when we were kids where school was never canceled, I literally never remember. As a young woman in school, that school was ever canceled due to snow. Do you?
It wasn't often, but yes, I do. Because when it did happen, it was because we had like a foot or more, and because we used to get monster storms, and
oh, we
it
did.
Was such
yeah.
a big deal. You would be so excited watching TV and just waiting for the name of your school to be on the scrolling on the bottom of the screen. When I was very young, we'd listen to the radio for the, you know, and you're just praying and praying that the name will come up. You're still in your pajamas, and then when they say it, it's just like pure glee. You start, you know, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And we were like,
well,
oh,
Julie,
it's like the party. Yeah.
Let's hope people are still listening to the radio. Hint, hint. But, you know, I see, we used to do that when my kids were little. But, like, I do not remember it as a kid. And, of course, you know, you always add on the extra. We walked to school with 50 miles with backs, books, and no book bags. And, you know, I mean, those were the days. No book bags. I don't remember a book bag ever. We just carried our books in our...
Oh, yeah, you didn't have a book
crazy.
Bag? Oh.
No, I don't remember anything like that. I really don't.
Dear.
I just don't. I remember them all in my locker and picking them out every time I had to go to my next class. But, no, I don't remember taking... I mean, if I booked drugs, clearly I had to bring them home, but I carried them. So,
I'm sorry,
carried
but that
books
sounds
from
painful.
School. Yeah, I know. I know.
No good.
But anyway, so I'm happy it's a nice day. So we're a little bit late today. We decided to tape on Friday, which I kind of don't mind. I like the Thursday taping, but Friday morning's okay too. And I was at Studio RD yesterday, and two people who were in your photo were talking. So Danielle, who works for Rosie, was going over for Rosie's participation in the photo, and Miss Joanne Arduino, who will be on the show later, she was in the photo as well. So, or at least someone from the Ballet Theater of Scranton. So we talked about that, but it was just funny because I knew you were doing this, and they were both talking about it. So it was kind of funny.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. This is a big group.
I don't think we've ever seen so many business owners.
How many peeps did you have?
Probably close to 30. Why?
Because it's a beautiful day and everyone's looking forward to the holidays, but it's also kind of nice. It's got that chill in the air, but not crazy. And I think people just like it better, other than if you're a ski resort.
So. I also think there's greater participation in the actual program that Scranton Tomorrow has put together. I think there's more businesses jumping on board with their Deck the Downtown holiday campaign.
I think
we saw that yesterday, too. And I think this is going to be a great year for supporting local across
the
board.
The thing about shop local, this, you know, push for that, we should be shopping local all the time and small all the time. We need to support our businesses and our small businesses, which make the world go round, and do it all the time. And I know it's a big push through American Express where they started it, and it's a big deal, and I think it should be celebrated. But celebrate it all the time. Think of these small businesses when you're looking to buy something special. And, you know, speaking of that, while I was at Studio RD, Kellyanne Carey from the Daisy Collective came over, and I didn't realize that she is now the owner of the Daisy Collective.
Yes.
I love Kellyanne. Yes. Love her. She's a doll. She has beautiful things, and she's just so easy to deal with and kind, and her windows are always so pretty, her window decorating, and she's just such a love. I just everything about her, and I'm so thrilled for her. So was Kellyanne there too, Jewel, or do you know Kelly?
I'm not sure that I know Kelly. I know her name,
okay, well,
but
get
I'm
to...
not sure I know her. So she may have been there. And I'm just not sure which person she was. There was a lot of people there.
And that's the beauty of it. But she's stunning. She's just a love. I think she had like on a white kind of sweater dress, like a dress that's all, it was like a off-white color. She's stunning. And she's a doll. As beautiful as she is inside and out. She's as lovely and kind, and I love that place. And she is now the owner, which it was great. So Maggie sold it to her, and it's hers now. So, and she's right next door to Studio RD in the Three of Penn. And
So anyway, it was funny because all of these people just happened to be in at the same time and talking about this photo. So Kelly wasn't talking about the photo, but I assume she was. And I would not have known about it, but had you and I been talking in the morning, you told me. So I was like, oh, okay, yay. So anyway, it was kind of funny. So it just, that's how the universe works. You put it out there and it comes back. So
there you go.
Yeah, it was great. And other than that, we have our post-election, dealings and all this, that, and the other. And here we are, Julie, here we are. So we move forward and we move on and we just keep doing good work and trudging away at what we have to do.
Right.
You got it, baby? Yeah. So keep the faith. That's what I say.
That's the spirit.
Keep the faith. And here's the other thing. Women need to continue to run for elected office. Don't let these things sway you, even though I would tell you that that's the reason that we do not have a woman in the White House, is because she's a woman. And I know there's everyone who believes differently, but that's my belief. And I just think it's very hard to be a woman in this business, and it's hard for women to then keep going because it's been such a man's world for so long in politics, and women are making great headway in many ways, but not, you know, in many different areas of politics. But the big office is something that hasn't been there yet. I mean, Hillary was right there with, you know, when that primary and Obama got the nod there. Then she was there in 2016 and ran and got the nod from the Democratic side and ended up losing, won the popular, but he won the electoral vote. And then we went to this year in 2024, and Kamala Harris is the nominee, and she loses both the popular and the Electoral College. She was defeated. And, you know, we can say there are all sorts of reasons, and there wasn't this, and we didn't do that. There was no election, and there was no, you know, nomination, but whatever people say. Bottom line is, we do not have a female in the Oval Office, and hopefully we will see it. So, but it is discouraging for people to keep putting themselves out there and getting knocked down. But again, my favorite, Theodore Roosevelt, The Man in the Arena, read it and understand it. So just keep on going, because it's people who dare greatly who will eventually be the victor. So just keep doing it. Win or lose, you got to get out there. So that's my message, Jewel. Do you have anything to add?
That's good advice, I think, for all of us. No, I think clearly this country just isn't ready for a woman to be the leader. I think that is a big factor in what occurred. One of many, you know. And I look forward to the day when we're not discussing whether
yes.
someone's gender, you know, and then it's not even
old.
Thought of.
Getting old.
We talk. I'm
yes.
looking forward to the day when we're talking about, wow, the most qualified person got the job, or, you know, was elected
yeah.
to the office. That's what I'm
yeah.
looking for, regardless of gender,
you know,
or race or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and you know too that there's no mention of anybody old running for office now. That is clearly not even a word used, but when Biden was this, that, and the other, he was old, he was this, but there's no mention of it now, even though we're not talking about a young man in the White House. So, you know, it's a little bit of speaking out of both sides of your mouth, but we'll
double
see what
standard.
Happens. And double standard, baby, but keep on going, and we will keep doing what we need to do and keep moving on, and that's all we can do. So to those who run and who put themselves in the arena, good for you. Keep doing it. And our dear friend, thank you for everything, Matt Cartwright. He's
a dear friend and a wonderful man and was very bipartisan, and I'm very heartbroken for him because he should have won. And as far as Bob Casey, as of today, I'm not sure what that where that stands. I know it was pretty close. And, you know, people want to elect a guy who lives in Connecticut to be the United States Senator for Pennsylvania. You got to be nuts. But anyway, that's my thought process. So, Bob Casey, we love you too. And there, we're going to go and take a break because we have some wonderful guests coming up to discuss real estate and the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors with Holly Sirachi from ERA OneSource. And then we have the lovely aforementioned Joanne Arduino, who's going to talk a little bit about the Nutcracker performance, which will happen over Thanksgiving. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business. And with me is our wonderful producer extraordinaire, Ms. Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, tell everybody about you.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about my business and how I can help you promote your business, just visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
There we go. And with us is the lovely Holly Sirachi. Holly has been a realtor for 21 years and is with ERA OneSource Realty, which is where yours truly also has her license hung, although I am not an active member of the board. I am a referring agent at the moment. And I've been there a long time, Holly, since 2007. I've been with Sunita. Holly's here because we're going to talk a little bit about the board, the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors, which we've never really given much love to through the years. And I think it's important we talk about that. Holly is the immediate past president and therefore stays on in her capacity in an advisory position and will be helpful in many ways. She's going to tell us a little bit about that and some of the work that's done there, both on a state level and everything else. And it's just so good to understand fully where we are and what we do and why realtors pay the dues to the board and what they do for everyone who works there and therefore the community, because you're buying the houses and the commercial properties, and we have a lot to talk about. So Holly, thanks for joining us today. Just want to ask you one question. If you're on speaker, can you take it off? Because I can hear a little bit of background.
Absolutely.
Done. There we go. There we go. Hi, good morning. So happy to have you on with us.
Wonderful to be here.
I'm so happy. I was happy when Sunita said, I think I'm going to have Holly Sirachi. I said, I love Holly. So here we go, Hal. We're and Julie will, like we said, I sent her your beautiful photo, and we will put that up on social media, and we'll share it with ERA because Sunita said make sure we do that too, so you guys can promote it as well. But Holly, tell everybody a little bit. 21 years as an agent. Now, did you get your license in Pennsylvania? I know you said you lived in California, or did you start there? When did you get your license?
No, just in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a kid, I grew up in San Jose, California, Key West, Florida, but went to college here and have been here ever since. Decided to, when I had my second child, I got my real estate license. Actually, Sunita was the one that encouraged me to do so. Needed a little flexibility with two kids, and fast forward, went on to get my broker's license, not to open up my own company, but just for simply knowledge.
Okay, so you have your broker's license. That's wonderful.
I do.
And that is really, and Holly, that's important, I think, because we talked a little bit about this with Leah in the past. Just as you made that distinction, it's not because you want to do it to open and to be and to open your own company, but to have the knowledge and the credibility and the education of being a broker and having that little bit of oomph that give you that I'm sure then brings much more knowledge than to the people you serve, right? I'm sure that has helped you tremendously.
Absolutely. I've had my broker's license since 2008. So I've always done a lot of the training and growing of the companies and what have you. And for me, when I first started, you know, everybody called in. Oh, I saw this house in the paper, what have you. And I kind of felt like they knew a little bit more than I did. I was in a totally different profession. And it made me a little anxious. And I said, I need to educate myself. I need to know what they know. And how can I possibly train other agents, you know, if I'm not proficient myself? So that's what pushed me to, and I just put my head down and took all the classes. And, you know, I did it relatively quickly. And no regrets whatsoever. Again, I never had an intention to open up my own company. I was able to do what I wanted to do within the companies that I worked for.
Yeah, I think that's important because a lot of times the grass isn't always greener and people kind of think that sometimes. So, and Sunita's just so helpful and good about promoting and working with her agents that I think that's an important distinction. Get the additional knowledge, get the license, but it doesn't mean you have to just branch out. You can do your own thing and make it work within somebody else's company. So I think that's so important. I'm glad to know that, Holly. Thank you for that info. And then secondly,
absolutely,
Holly, talk a little bit about the board, where your involvement came there, what made you say, hey, because we were just talking about the election, and we're saying put yourself out there regardless of where those elections happen. You've got to run, and that's to be on the board, to be in a position of power, so to speak, and to get to those levels of which you need to be elected. How did that work, and how did you decide, hey, I'm going to jump in and see what I can do here and how it works? Tell us a little bit about what that's like.
Well, I don't regret it at all. It was a phenomenal experience. It's a 5-year commitment. I was asked to be on the board and 1 year, and there was things going on that I just didn't feel I could dedicate that time. And then the second year, I said, you know what? Maybe I'll do this. And unbeknownst to me, you had to run, and there were a lot of people that year running against me. So I said, oh, my goodness, I have to campaign for this position. So I did, and I...
No, I just
Hello?
Said yes. I was
okay.
Just no. I'm here. I said when you said okay. You had a campaign, I go, yep. Well, there you go. There,
oh,
and especially
right.
When there's a lot of people, and there's so many realtors in this in the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors. So there's a lot. But anyway, keep going. No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, not at all. So the first year you serve on the board, and then your peers select you if they feel you're qualified and have been an asset. They ask you to if you'd like to move up through the executive chain, and I said, sure, why not? Did not want to be president, which is funny. I said, yeah, I would like to experience everything else, but I didn't necessarily want to be president of the board. I'm glad I did it. A lot of change. We were coming out of COVID when I was president-elect. So everybody was just getting back to offices and some sense of normalcy, because we go to Harrisburg 3 times a year. You go to the legislative NAR conference and the national NAR conference. So it's a huge commitment, but such a phenomenal experience, especially when you're seeing all these changes locally, to have these roundtables with individuals from all over the country, it was amazing. We're very, very fortunate in our area with, we continued to grow when other areas were seeing not so great changes and market collapse and, you know, different things like that. We pretty much so held steady, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Tell them a little bit too, if you would, Holly, when you and I spoke yesterday regarding the commercial end of things and how things, what were done in that realm and how that actually worked and what we weren't able to do that we now can. Can you tell them a little bit about that act? That, is it an act? What's the actual title?
It's a 1031 exchange.
Exchange.
So there were
there
were two things that were different with Pennsylvania than any other state. And real estate was not deemed essential during the pandemic. So we were shut down, I think it was 101 days. So that was one thing that we were very passionate about. Obviously, you know, having houses essential. The other one was the 1031 exchange.
What that is,
for those that are real estate investors and they buy properties, when they go to sell it, they would have to pay capital gains on it. However, if they then buy, if they sell their property and whatever the amount is that they sell it for, if they then invest that money into another property, they can avoid paying the capital gains taxes on that, as long as they're buying it. If you sell a $650,000 house, or I'm sorry, commercial investment property, and then buy another for $650,000, you don't have to pay the capital gains, and you can continue to do that down the road, buying other properties and what have you.
Holly, is there a time limit on when you or do you need to know before you close on the first property, and or is there a time limit as to when you can then purchase the next property therefore avoiding the tax?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the time limit is, quite honestly.
Okay.
But Pennsylvania was the only one that didn't have that, and when we spoke with Marty Flynn and Rosemary Brown, like they weren't even aware that like we didn't have that in Pennsylvania. So on our visits to Harrisburg, they call it Hill Day, and you know, so you go to the Capitol, and you get an opportunity to speak to these individuals and bring up your concerns, and that was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and had you not decided to, you know, put yourself into that arena, you would not be able to sit here today and tell us these are the things that you were able to accomplish as a group of people who had their voices heard from a state that didn't have what other states had or every other state, and we did not. And to see that change has to be one of the most rewarding things of putting yourself in that position.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I would even go a step further. I highly encourage any agent out there that has been in the business a little bit to run for the board. You have a much, much, much different perspective on how things are done. And not just from what we're talking about legislatively, but also locally and why things are done. Our sole job was to protect the consumers and hold agents accountable and make sure that things were done properly. With this, the NAR lawsuit and everything that has been going on, Pennsylvania did a great job, with their paperwork and what have you. And we started in the company having meetings in May, educating the agents on the changes and, you know, how they would affect our clients and how to handle the new changes and have those discussions. And, you know, we transitioned into the new forms and what have you seamlessly. And our board did a phenomenal job with putting out the information to educate the agents and, you know, make sure that they knew what they were doing. Other states were not as lucky. You know, they had, every state has different laws. They didn't
right.
necessarily have the buyer agency agreement that we did in, meaning Pennsylvania, not ERA.
Right.
So our forms were done very nicely, and we did a really nice job having that laid out with our clients to be able to understand, like, where their money goes and how it's divided and what the agent does with it, et cetera.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing work. I'm thrilled that you were able to come on and tell us. And, Holly, I hope you come on again. We have another slot next week. I'm going to talk to you and to Sunita in the next day or two and see what she wants to do for next week, because I think this is important to talk about, not just where everything goes and where we're at, but I know Sunita has some other ideas. I think it's important for people to understand the crucial work that our board does to contribute to the buying public and the selling public, and just people in general who are selling their homes and or commercial properties need to have the power of that board behind them, and the realtors who work and spend so much time doing the right thing. We need to let everyone know more about that. So we thank you for coming on. We thank you for your work.
Thank you for having
congrats
me.
On
Absolutely.
Your, oh, we're thrilled, Holly. I hope you come back, and you've been delightful, and I'm thrilled. And we just, like with Julie and I, just talked a little bit about the election, and this is like a perfect segue into what we needed to discuss. So we appreciate your help here, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you again, and I will see you soon, and keep doing all your good work, and let everyone know how they can get in touch with Holly Cerace if they'd like to use you for their real estate needs.
Sure. So you can call me on my cell phone, 570-885-0157, and hollycerace.com and ERA Real Estate.
There you go. And we'll put that all up on our post for you today. And we thank you. Holly, have a great weekend, and thanks for all the work you do.
Thank you, too. Have a fabulous day.
Oh, you too.
Okay.
But okay, everybody, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is our lovely producer, Miss Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications, best said by my friend Julie. Go ahead, Jules.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
There you go. And with us is Joanne Arduino, who is the artistic director of the Ballet Theater of Scranton. As far as I'm concerned, Joanne, the best ballet theater we have. I'm thrilled that you're here, because we're here to talk a little bit about the Nutcracker, which is in its 49th free to the public season, is a gift to the community started by the lovely Constance Reynolds and continued through under Joanne's direction for many, many years, 49 and counting. And it's a wonderful event that happens on a yearly basis. It used to be at Christmas time. It's now changed and has been for the last several years to Thanksgiving. This time there's a little bit of change in as far as the time of the performances, which I think is important to note. It is now 12 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. So you get out in a little earlier and out a little bit earlier, and it's a family-friendly event, like you were saying, Joanne, so it's important that people can be there and take part and have their kids home at a decent time or go out to dinner, and it's at the Theater North, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to begin your holidays. I kind of like the time of year that it is now, and I love the fact that it's, well, let's give the dates, November 29th, 30th, and December 1st, because as somebody said on the Today Show today, Thanksgiving is basically in December this year, so it's pretty darn close to the end of the year, so, or the end of November. So, Joanne, thanks for joining us, and how are you feeling about this year and all the work that goes into the Nutcracker?
Well, thank you, beautiful ladies, for having me today and for all of your lovely things that you said about our ballet company and our Nutcracker. We are very much looking forward to our 49th year. I honestly can't believe it's 49 years and Ooh. That we've given this as a gift to the community for all these years. And we are deep into rehearsals now. And as you said, this year, it's always on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. So what's nice about this year is November 30th it falls on, and that happens to be the birthday of our late founder, Constance Reynolds, Aww. Who began this tradition. So she would be very proud. And I know that she always looks down and is happy that this tradition is continuing and that we're giving back to our community, because that's what it's all about, giving back. And when you're fortunate, it's something that I feel everybody should do, and especially with this, we have a very supportive community and a really wonderful community that I'm glad that we can do this for them. We have every year about, I would say, 8,000 people who attend. Wow. If you want, let me just say this so that if anyone's listening and wants to get tickets, you have to come to the box office at the theater at North 2 hours prior to the specific performance you want to attend to get your free tickets. And then, I mean, if you want to say you want to come to the noon show, you could come at 10 o'clock, get your tickets, go out and have breakfast, and come back and have see the show. We do, Laurie and Julie, have an exciting event happening this year as well, that it's a pilot project for us. It's in our inaugural year. We are doing this year, invitation-only sensory-friendly performance. And mm-hmm. that will be opened up to some hard of hearing children as well as some autistic children. And it will be a shortened performance. It will not have the bright lights. It will not have the loud sounds. We have a sensory-friendly corner that students can go if they need to go and do some things while they're watching the show. They will meet the cast. And we have a committee of people that are professionals in that field, and so we're very grateful that they've guided us along so that we can make this more inclusive. And we're really excited about that and hope to, in years to come, expand upon that.
Joanne, when will that take place?
We do that. We also always offer an educational performance. We bring in 800 school students every year. This year, that is on Monday, the 25th of November. The school performance, they come in at 10 a.m., and that's a free performance as well. And then at 1 o'clock, we will do the sensory-friendly performance that same day, Monday, the 25th.
I love it, Joanne. That is so important, so, so, so important for families and children to have that just to have the ability to bring your child and the family, and to know that your child will be able to tolerate what they can't often in a normal setting because of some of the things that you said, whether it's the noise or the lights or any of that, the sensory overload is just too much. So
Agreed.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy you're doing that.
Thank you. We are very excited about offering that. I think there's a need. There's really a need.
There definitely is. And, you know, you were on for a short period of Friendship House Board, and, you know, mm-hmm. we have our Autism Center, and it's just more and more prevalent where children need help and are diagnosed on the spectrum, and that's so important that you're doing that for them, because what an opportunity they would miss otherwise if you didn't offer that to them. So I love
Agreed.
That, Joanne. That's
and
wonderful.
You know,
thank you for that.
You know, we're very happy to be doing this, but the other positive part about that is, besides it being beneficial to those children, the dancers that are involved, they're getting to experience it, and sometimes we're in a bubble and we don't see what happens in the outside world, and they're going to be able to experience allowing these children to come and participate, and they will meet the children and take pictures with them. So I think it's a positive experience for our dancers as well.
Yeah, I think it's great. Thank you. That's great. And then, Joanne, tell everybody, too, not only do you have your wonderful ballet dancers as, of course, part of this whole wonderful production of the Nutcracker. But you have so many people, average Joes, so to speak, who come and commit to rehearsals and all of the time in advance, and then the actual performances, six performances, seven if you count the other, or even eight if you count the other two, the educational and now the sensory specific. Those are things that are a lot of time and energy that people put into this, Joanne, and you couldn't do it without the help of these people who pop up every year and say, hey, I'm in and I want to do this.
I agree. We have some adults that are part of the program that actually, part of the performance that actually perform, and they do give up a lot of time, and they're professionals in their field, in the community. And also we have, and I'm very, very, very proud that we have so many volunteers that help in so many aspects of the performance, between backstage, between helping with fundraising, between costuming, in every area. I mean, it takes, as I know it's the old adage, but it takes a village, and it really does.
It takes a village, yep.
It does. It's a huge production, and it takes, the people backstage are just as important as the people on stage, because that's, it's the whole that makes it happen. And we're very fortunate in these days where a lot of people don't get, a lot of organizations don't get a lot of volunteers, because it's a different day and age. When Mrs. Reynolds began this, a lot of women were stay-at-home mothers, and they had more time to donate, to do, and volunteerism. And now women have very important careers, and they take a lot of time in their careers. So when they give up their time to do this as a volunteer, you know, we're very, very grateful. We have a multitude of volunteers, and I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah, and that's important to know, because it, again, the dancers, and Joanne, that process, and these kids, and they're so delighted when they get these roles and the auditions and the certain, you know, the cream puffs and the angels and all those cute little, you know, those roles that these kids are just delighted that they get. And then, of course, the Clara role. I mean, this is a big, big deal for kids. It lasts a lifetime for them when they get an audition for and put themselves out there. This goes right along, Julie, with what we're talking about, elections, so to speak. I mean, not that they're elected, but they put themselves out there to be chosen. And that's an important thing, because you can risk disappointment. You can risk having to take a lesser position because you're not quite ready for that, or even if you think you are, you need. You know, it's a tight rope to walk there, Joanne, and it's hard for everybody, but the outcome is always so beautiful in how people just relate and make it all work, isn't it? That it's democracy at its best there.
Absolutely. And, you know, because I audition with some other professionals that watch these dancers. I mean, I know them. I know their strengths and their weaknesses and, the way that they move and express themselves. And you want to try to please everybody, but it's not always what they want.
No,
and I try to
right.
make the point that, you know, we know what they excel in, and that if they will trust us, what they're asked to do, they will shine in. And ultimately, mm-hmm. I've had people come back to me and say, oh, I really wanted to be the Snow Queen or something, and
right.
but that really wasn't what they would do best. And so they were something else, and they come back afterwards and said, I'm so glad that that's what I got to be, because,
Same.
You know, I felt so accomplished, and I had so many compliments. And I always tell them a funny story. When I was dancing, oh gosh, a long time ago, we were doing the ballet Sleeping Beauty, and I wanted to be the Princess Aurora. And Mrs. Reynolds, I ended up being the White Cat in this third act variation. And Mrs. Reynolds said, oh dear, you know, that wasn't your kind of dance, which was interesting, because the next year we did a ballet called Giselle, which is a peasant dance, and I got the lead mm-hmm. of Giselle, and she said, this is more of your style, and she was absolutely right. But the interesting thing about the White Cat was the dance was on the stage for maybe a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, and Aurora danced for maybe 3 hours. She was on stage constantly, and after the performance, someone that used to dance on Broadway came backstage and said, you know, that Princess Aurora was beautiful, but the thing I'm going to remember about this show was you as the White Cat. And I smiled because I thought, yeah, you know, I always tell my dancers, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do it to the best of your ability, you will make your mark.
Right. Be the best white cat you can be, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Joanne, one more information, if you would, tell everyone how is that the only way to get the tickets is to come the day before the time, 2 hours before each performance? That's the way you get the tickets, right?
Yes, it is. We offer benefactor tickets, but that window has closed right now. But next year, if you reach out early enough, there are benefactor seats that for a small donation, you can get a reserve seat. But that window has closed this year. So it would be the 2 hours prior to the performance, the specific performance you want to come to.
And you go right to the theater at North 2 hours before each performance to get your ticket.
Right.
There,
and they, again, that's Thanksgiving weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, each day at 12 and 5:30.
Right, and it is the 29th, 30th of November, and December 1st. And again, we have to say big happy birthday to Constance Reynolds on November 30th. I hope she'll be looking down on you this whole time, Joanne, and sending you nothing but good vibes, because you've done a wonderful job in keeping with her dream of this school and this wonderful ballet theater of Scranton, and what you do and continue to do, and you're the best, and everyone loves Miss Joanne. Julie, she came in to get her nails done yesterday at Studio RD, as we were talking about earlier, and everyone's like, oh, I have Miss Joanne coming up, Miss Joanne. And no one just says Joanne. It's Miss Joanne at Studio RD. It's how it works.
That's a real term of endearment, and I enjoy that.
I know. I love it, too. Well, keep up all your good work, and to all the kids out there doing their dancing their heart out, and all of the adults who come in and volunteer, Joanne, hats off to this community for a wonderful job. And again, free to the public as a gift to the community, the Nutcracker from the Ballet Theater of Scranton. And we thank you, Miss Joanne Arduino. Thanks for joining us, and have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you both.
Thank you. And everyone else, you enjoy the weekend. It's going to be a nice one. We'll see you here next week. Thanks so much for listening. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.